Yo, party people, what's going on? It's your man Leonard. We are back once again, Look and Listen Podcast Network, South End Cinema Podcast, another What I'm Watching episode. I actually recorded one of these a couple weeks ago, but somehow that got lost, or there was some kind of issue with me trying to export it. I feel like Adobe Audition has done something different. You know how like they'll update something on like a software or a website or something like that, and it's like one of those changes that kind of comes and kind of throws you off. You know, you're used to doing things a certain way, and then they make a change and they move something to a different location or whatever, and you know, it kind of just like messes the game up. So I've been having some kind of issue with that. So I think that, you know, once I did my little bit of editing, you know, made sure that everything sounded clear, try to export it, somehow it got lost and I could not find that file at all to be able to get it out there to y'all. So what I decided to do was what I should have done anyway. I re-downloaded Audacity. So now I'm running both like I used to do back in the day. So I would like Audition to be my main thing, but I'm gonna let Audacity rock as well. And I may, at least until I can figure out something with Audition, I may just upload the file from Audacity, which really doesn't make much of a difference to you. This is just kind of like a thought process that I'm actually going through. I just, you know, decided to say it out loud since we're getting the show started. And I was explaining to y'all, you know, that I actually recorded a little while ago and it didn't come out. I don't remember everything I said on that. If I'm able to find the file and or maybe some notes that I jotted down. I don't think I jotted down any notes for that one, but something may come up and I'll be able to talk about whatever was there. If not, then, you know, we'll just go from here and move forward. But I do remember one thing, and we'll go ahead and we'll make that the first thing that we talk about on here. And of course, you know, as you probably already know, you know what I mean? We're going to get into spoilers for some of this stuff that's coming up. So, you know, you are definitely being warned about that. But first up was, as I said on the lost episode, the lost tapes, shout out to my man Nas. I finished a rewatch of Game of Thrones. So I may have mentioned previously that I was rewatching Game of Thrones and I had my mother watching for the first time. So we finished that. It's been at least a month since that happened, probably a little bit more than that. So it's been a little while. And as I was trying to tell y'all on the episode that I lost, that we had finished it, she really enjoyed it. And it was a good time. Like it was great for me to rewatch the show. I think this was the first time that I had watched it all the way through, through all 8 seasons. Because previously when I did a full rewatch, it was the first 7 seasons were out and I was getting ready for season 8. And that was back in 2019. That's when the last season aired. So now I've been able to rewatch the entire series from A to Z. So this is my first time doing that. I'll do that again at some point. You know, Game of Thrones is one of those shows that, you know, I feel like I'm gonna probably rewatch every now and then, you know, for the rest of my life. So that was a good time. Mom's enjoyed it. As I've said before, you know, along the way, she had some questions and there were things that she wanted to know or things that she said, you know, along the way, like, you know, I hope this person gets what they got coming to them or I need this person to die or whatever. And I try to do a good job of not spoiling anything for her. You know, there were times where I would answer questions and there were times where I'd be like, no, just wait and see. Like, I'll give you a prime example. So in, what is it, season 5, again, these are spoilers. The show has been over for a while, so y'all should know. But if you don't want to know, if you're watching Game of Thrones currently for the first time, pause for the cause right now. I'll try to see if I can get the time code and maybe tell you when to come back. But let's put it like this. Skip ahead probably at least a good 5 minutes starting right now. So real quick, so in season 5, you know, there's the Jon Snow situation where Jon Snow gets killed by the guys at the wall. And in real time, I think that was maybe like the last episode of season five. And so in real time, that was the end of the season. So it took us at least maybe like 6 months to another year or whatever to find out what happened. So that was the way that they ended. That was the cliffhanger that they kind of ended us on. And I think at that point, we had also gotten off the books as well. So people that read the books no longer had the advantage of knowing what was coming. Now it was a level playing field where everybody was like, okay, what's going to happen next? So I think it's in season six, episode one is when Melisandre does the spell, but nothing happens. And then he wakes up in season six, episode two. So I remember when we were watching it, you know, we got to that episode where they killed him. And she was like, oh, my God, not my friend Jon Snow. She was real messed up about that. But it was at a point that we had maybe watched maybe another episode or two before that. And so she was kind of like, you know, probably ready to move on. But I was like, yo, you're going to want to push through this. I didn't tell her going into it why, but I said, you know, we watched a couple episodes already. But after we see this one, you're going to want to probably keep going just to get the conclusion. So she said, all right, cool. So we saw that she had her reaction to it. Then we watched the next couple episodes. So if you're just binging it, you know, you can probably watch all three of those back to back. And, you know, it really will hit you. But it's not the same as how we did it when we watched it, where we had to wait several months to find out what was going to happen or whatever. So it was a different experience for her because she got a chance to see that they did bring him back a few episodes later. But stuff like that was really cool to kind of see her, you know, process things and like, you know, react to things and all of that. And she had a really good perspective. Oh, matter of fact, if you had skipped ahead, then you might be good now. So we're back. So hopefully those who, you know, who I told to go away have come back at this point. But so, you know, at the end, you know, there was, you know, the ending was kind of controversial at the time. I think a lot of people were just upset that the show was coming to an end. And, you know, negativity is definitely a way that a lot of people find community and a lot, you know, a lot of people find their tribe by being negative. So in my opinion, I feel like, you know, the majority of the audience probably enjoyed the final season, the final episode and everything. Or at worst, it may not have been their favorite season, may not have been their favorite episode. It wasn't mine either. But she had a pretty interesting perspective on that. And I think that her looking at it for the first time and seeing the way things ended was actually a pretty cool way of looking at it. Again, spoiler alert. You know, if you're watching for the first time, you might want to dip out again for another couple minutes. I know I said that, you know, we will be done with the spoiler talk on that, but the show's been off for a few years now. I mean, I know that a lot of people are going through it for the first time at this point, but, you know, once again, I don't want to be the one to spoil it for you. I don't know how you've avoided spoilers this long, but anyway, so for the ending, you know, with Bran being the one that was chosen to be king. You know, I remember saying that I felt like they should have fleshed it out and kind of made us care about him a little bit more. Like, he's a character that we saw from the beginning, you know, all the way through the run of the show. But unlike his brothers and sisters, we never really had much of a connection to him like we had with, you know, Arya, Sansa, and Jon Snow. But she had a good point where she said that she felt like it actually made a little bit more sense for him not to have as much of a personality and for him not to have characteristics that would kind of bring. I still think that they could have maybe brought him in and made us feel a little bit more. But I think her overall point was basically that the way that his personality was kind of like just super basic and he was really more of a kind of like a task driven person, more so than like a more dynamic personality who had like goals and aspirations and, you know, things that he was striving for, that actually made more sense to her, because we've seen how bad things can get when a person does have all of those other qualities. You know, Daenerys being the prime example of like, you know, she wanted that shit so bad it drove her crazy. And, you know, there were other people who were in line or potentially in line for the throne. And, you know, they had their own agendas. And now you throw that into the mix, and now things could get murky with that. So in her opinion, it made more sense for them to choose him. And they kind of explained it on the show anyway. You know, and once she said that and we had our conversation, I thought that made a lot more sense. And it actually made me appreciate the ending of the show more so than I did the first time that I saw it. And I was fine with it the first time, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, hearing it from a different point of view, from a person who's seeing it for the first time, I thought that made a lot of sense. So, you know, there's still maybe some things here and there that they could have fleshed out or done a little bit differently. But I think my enjoyment of the entire series this time was actually better. And I think whenever I watch it again, you know, I'll have that in the back of my mind. And, you know, it may age like fine wine, in my opinion. And I think it'll do that for a lot of people as well. And I think House of the Dragon has also given us a new perspective on Game of Thrones. And I think that will also help people enjoy the original show more than they did the first time that they saw it all the way through. So if you have watched Game of Thrones before and, you know, you're looking for something to binge watch, you know, to kind of kill time during the summer or whatever, I would definitely recommend doing a rewatch, especially now knowing everything that happens. And, you know, you most likely have watched House of the Dragon too. So, you know, consider all of those things, because that was one of the things that I was doing when I was doing my rewatch. After seeing House of the Dragon, I understand a little bit more about Daenerys and her family and kind of like how she ended up going crazy like she did. Like, it's in the blood. And really with that story, we're only a season in. So I don't know everything that there is to know about the Targaryens. We'll see more. Like, the first season of that show was definitely a setup. It was the events that took place that really got the shit started. And I feel like season two is when the shit is really going to start. And so maybe after season two, whenever season two comes out and, you know, begins and ends, then maybe that'll be a good time to do another rewatch, because we'll have more information about them. And again, it'll make you look at her and how she acted and maybe things that you heard about, you know, on the show that didn't really mean anything at the time when you watched it on Game of Thrones may actually, you know, be more relevant to you, and you'll be able to connect the dots, you know, after seeing both seasons of House of the Dragon. So that was the one thing that I know that I talked about the last time. Moving on, the next thing that I want to talk about is the series finale for Snowfall. Again, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen that, you might want to just, you know what? You might want to just save this podcast until you see the end of Snowfall, until you see Beef, because that's coming up next. And until you've seen, you know, where we are at this point with Ted Lasso, which I think is season 3, episode 7, I believe, was the last episode that aired. So, and I'll put this in the notes, you know, just to kind of make sure that people know what I'm talking about. Obviously, I do that anyway. You know, I mentioned what I discussed on the episodes anyway. So, but yeah, getting into Snowfall, the series is over now. It's been gone for what, a week or two? And man, it was a great ending. I like the way that they landed that. My mom and I were watching that. She's been dragging her feet on that shit though. It was funny because like when the show was gone, she kept asking like, yo, I wonder when they're gonna bring Franklin back. What's up with Snowfall? And then once it started, it was like she didn't wanna watch it. You know what I'm saying? So we've only seen one episode, but at some point, I think like once they got to like episode 3 or 4, I was just like, yo, it's hard to avoid spoilers. because a lot of people were talking about it on my Twitter feed and stuff. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna just have to go ahead and do my own thing. And then I'll rewatch it with her whenever she's ready to do so. So I finally caught up. I think I caught up by the time they got to about 4 or 5. And then I've been watching every week, you know, once the show was on. I think there was maybe 1 week because of the NBA playoffs where I just stuck with the basketball and watched Snowfall like the next morning. But I was able to, you know, keep up and you know, ride the wave the rest of the way until it ended. I thought it was a good ending. You know, there weren't really... If we're talking from Franklin's point of view, there wasn't really too many ways that I could see him getting out of it alive and or free, right? Because of all the things that he's done throughout the course of the show, you know, it didn't seem like he had any opportunity for a happy ending. And he didn't get a happy ending, you know what I'm saying? But he also didn't get killed, because those last couple episodes, this nigga was going crazy. I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway that you have about Franklin and his story is that while he was a cocaine dealer who ended up becoming a crack dealer, and he had, you know, thousands, if not millions of people in California and in a few other states, because you remember they expanded a little bit. If nothing else, you know, he was the catalyst for a lot of other people's addictions, you know, their addiction to crack. But he was addicted to something as well. His addiction was the money. And we really saw that those last few episodes. Like, you know, when the money started running out and then once it was taken away, he was really, really willing to do any and everything that it took to get back to it. You know what I'm saying? So, and it really took over his mind and his heart. And, you know, he was already a monster anyway. He had turned into a monster. I guess you have to kind of become that, you know, to survive in that world, you know, in order to be successful and in order to actually literally survive, stay alive one day to the next. In that world, you have to, you know, change. So like the kind of sweet, nice kid that we met in the first season was long, long, long gone. And so I didn't really have any expectations for what would happen. But I tried to think about like what the most likely outcomes would be. Right. And so for me, it was like he'll either die trying to get his money or he'll get locked up and sentenced to like a million years in prison, you know, for all the drugs that he sold and the bodies and all of that kind of stuff. But in that last scene, to see him completely broken and to know that he had completely fucked over everybody that was down for him. Prime example, his mother, you know, his mother was done. You know, Sissy was like, yo. And I think she probably could have waited as well. But the more that I think about it, and as I've heard other people kind of discuss it, it seems like the reason why she killed Teddy when she did was because she was ready for all that shit to be over. And she knew that if he would have gotten his money, then he would have continued down the path that he was going on, which was a path of destruction, and that he would continue to, you know, damage and hurt himself and any and everybody around him, including Veronique, including the baby. Like, it would just been a nonstop thing until somebody put a bullet in his fucking head. And, you know, so I think Sissy realized that the only way to stop him, and really, and I don't even know if she thought this far ahead, but I could see her potentially thinking this far ahead, was like, the only way to actually try to save this nigga is to not allow him to get this money. Now, I know that that's going to destroy our relationship. We won't have one after that. And she may not have known or foreseen what we actually saw Franklin at the very end. But I think that somewhere in her mind, whether it was a conscious decision or if it was, you know, a subconscious thing, I think she knew that the only way to give this cat an actual chance, a legit chance to actually redeem himself one day, whether she was around to see that day or not, was to not allow him to get that money. So she shot Teddy before the transaction went through, and then everything went as it did. And he burned every bridge that he had because he was desperate, and his addiction to that paper was, you know, the strongest thing in his life. You know, a lot of people thought V was on some shady shit, and I did too. But I think that it's in part because of when and how they introduced her into the story. It was, you know, shortly after he was with that other girl. I forget what her name was. I know it started with a T or whatever. I want to say Tasha, but I don't know if that's right. But, you know, she was fucking around, you know, working for Manboy and everything. And so he had just gotten double crossed by a woman. So then we meet this other girl and we don't see the beginning of their relationship. And we're like, who the fuck is she? Where does she come from? And why is he so in love with her? So I think we all were given via side eye for, you know, the majority of the show. And I even saw people still, you know, talking shit about her in her final scene where, you know, where she ends up taking the money or the majority of the money that they had. And running off with the baby and probably going, you know, back to her mother and everything, realizing that everything her mom told her about Franklin was true. A lot of people had a problem with that, but I didn't, because I think she actually proved that she was down with him the entire time. The problem, though, was that when he raised his voice and put his hands on her, he proved everything that her mom was telling her about him. And so that was the last bridge, because if he would have stuck with her and not done that, and if he would have, you know, sold the properties and everything like that, then he would have had something. Like, and it's crazy because, like, at that time when he went to the bank, the bank teller was like, yo, I mean, you know, she took the majority of the 800 something thousand. So he wasn't like dead broke. He wasn't $73 million rich, but he was just under a million. And they would have been potentially able to take that and whatever they would have gotten from selling the properties that they did have. And they could have gone somewhere and maybe, you know, restarted something. You know what I'm saying? They would have had a chance to do something. But he fucked it up again because of his addiction. And it was interesting to see him start drinking at the end, because he hadn't done anything like that before. But just the stress and the desperation that he was feeling, you know, it took him to the bottle. And, you know, finally seeing him at the very end, you know, drinking and, you know, probably not eating, definitely not brushing his teeth or washing his ass. I think, and I said this on Twitter, and my tweet pretty much went viral. I was saying, like, yo, it's crazy. I think that's actually harder to see him at rock bottom and living like he was living and looking as he was than it would have been if somebody would have just shot him and killed him. Put him out of his misery, basically. But like I said a little while ago, I feel like if we were to continue his story, the redemption arc of Franklin Saint would not have been possible without that happening. So if I were to imagine, if you all were to imagine what happens next for him, what the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years looks like for him, you know, where he would be at right now, I would think that he'd actually be a successful guy back on his feet. You know, one of those OGs that, you know, was definitely a major part of destroying the neighborhoods and the communities and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, he's served his time. He's, you know, gotten, you know, his punishment from whoever, you know what I'm saying? And now he's back on his feet, you know, speaking out against a lot of the things he did, you know, ashamed of it to a large degree, but also saying, like, I wouldn't have become who I am now if I wasn't that person then. You know what I mean? Like, one of those type of cats. You know, I've heard people say that he's based off the real Freeway, Ricky Ross. I don't know if that's true or not. I think Freeway himself, Freeway Ricky, I'm not talking about Freeway the rapper, although shout out to Free, but Freeway Ricky has even said himself that he believes or that he knows that that character was based off of him. And, you know, I don't know a ton about what he's up to now, but I do know that, you know, he went away to jail for a while, but it wasn't for the big shit that he was doing. I forget exactly what he went away for, what he did his jail time for, prison, but it wasn't like, because they said that at one point he was making over $1 million a day slanging dope, you know what I'm saying, selling crack. So it wasn't that took him down, but it was something else. But it was a manageable number. Because if he would have went away for, you know, being the kingpin that he was, this nigga would be in prison right now. He would be in there for the rest of his life. But it's one of those situations where they caught him on a lesser charge and he was able to serve that time. And now he's out and about. Like, he's out in the world chilling. You know what I'm saying? He's got a, you know, I think he's got a book. He's got other things like that. So I think Franklin would have become one of those type of cats where, you know, you see him doing podcasts now and you see him writing books and telling his story and, you know, all of that. Not to glorify what they were doing or whatever, but just saying, yo, this is what it was. You know what I'm saying? This is the situation that I was in. These are the choices that I made. Right, wrong, good, bad, ugly. This is how I fucked my own life up and a lot of other people's lives. And, you know, this is how I hit rock bottom. And I know now that if I would have never hit rock bottom, then I wouldn't be in front of you right now. I wouldn't be out free in the world. And, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what, you know, what happened to Franklin. So, but we saw him at his lowest point. And that was pretty tough. But everybody throughout the series did a really excellent job in front and behind the camera. But they really, really did a great job in season 6. Season 5 was, you know, kind of silly at times. That was the one with the tiger and all that bullshit. But they really brought it back home and gave us the show and the ending that I think that we all, you know, wanted. So kudos to everybody that was involved in Snowfall, and I'm gonna miss it, but that's another show like Game of Thrones that I'll go back and binge watch in the future and, you know, really enjoy. Oh, and I want to say one more thing about that too. I had a thought like not too long after seeing like the finale, maybe like a day or two later. To me, like the way that Snowfall ended, and actually the run of Snowfall has some similarities to Better Call Saul. You know, Better Call Saul is the Breaking Bad prequel, and it focuses on Saul Goodman and Gus and Mike. And you see people that were mentioned in Breaking Bad, like Nacho. You see Lalo Salamanca, people like that. What I was thinking was that when I saw Franklin at his lowest point at the end of Snowfall, it reminded me of seeing Jimmy in prison at the end of Better Call Saul. What that show did was they showed you everything that happened before Breaking Bad. They showed you some of the stuff that was happening during Breaking Bad. And then they showed you what happened afterwards, you know. So when he finally hit his lowest point, that was when he was in prison and all that. But the similarities that I saw between the two was that you see the origin of these guys who I think at their core, Franklin and Jimmy McGill, a.k.a. Saul, I think at their core, they're both good guys. But there were some circumstances that contributed to them becoming who they became. But a lot of who they became, the monsters that they became, you know, Jimmy becoming a lawyer who was like, you know, dirty and working with, you know, drug kingpins and all that kind of stuff. And Franklin actually being one of those kingpins or whatever. A lot of that had to do with their own choices. And there were plenty of times along the way when you watch Saul and when you watch Snowfall, there were a lot of, as they say, exit ramps. There were a lot of different cases and situations where Jimmy could have not taken it as far as he did. He could have stopped. He could have, you know, made another choice and not been so greedy, because the big motivator for him was also money. So he could have not been as greedy as he was and made another decision and maybe not have gone as far as he ended up going. Same thing with Franklin. There were plenty of opportunities for Franklin to just kind of be satisfied and be like, you know what? I think I've done enough. I made enough money. You know, I've made a little bit of a life for myself and my family. I can get out of the game now. But he continued. He got more and more hungry and lustful for that cash. And that shit, you know, created the monster that he became. Same thing with Jimmy. Saul Goodman was created, you know, and that was the monster that he became. So you see that happen. They both had women that were a part of their story. You know, we spent a lot more time with Kim on Better Call Saul. So you know that Kim kind of had a little bit of that dog in her too, but she had limits and she had a code or whatever. And with Veronique on Snowfall, we didn't get as much time to spend with her. So their relationship didn't have the same, we didn't connect to their relationship the same way that I feel like you connect with Jimmy / Saul and Kim. They spend a lot more time together. We spend a lot more time with them. So you have more of a connection with them. So when shit falls apart for them, when Jimmy takes it too far and completely pushes her away and she's like, yo, I can't fuck with you no more, that hits harder. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why that happened is because of things that he did. Like I said, his choices. He pushed the best thing that ever happened to him, which was his relationship with Kim. He fucked it up because he was so money hungry and kept wanting to do more and more and more and kept escalating the situation. And, you know, with Franklin and V, it was a bit of a different situation. But again, she actually was a good woman that was down with him. And she would have continued to ride with him had he not put his hands on her. Like he fucked it up and destroyed that relationship. So they both did that. They pushed their loves of their lives away. And then in the end, you know, they had a moment where they had to, you know, where they hit rock bottom. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Jimmy was able to talk a huge sentence that they were going to give him down to like 7 years. I forget what the original sentence was that they were going to give him, but they were going to put this nigga away for the rest of his life and then some. I think it was like some shit like life plus another, you know, 30 years or some crazy shit like that. But, you know, he was able to talk that all the way down to like 7 years in like a minimum security prison. And you know, having his favorite ice cream delivered to him once a week and all that. But he finally realized before it was too late that what he needed to do was come clean. So he decided, you know, he had that great scene in the courtroom where he talked about all the stuff that he had done and, you know, really admitted to everything and stopped using the name Saul Goodman, said, my name is Jimmy McGill. And this is my story. This is what I've done. And that was something that was needed. He would not have had any chance for redemption or any chance to become a better person had he not done that. Right. So it was like he needed to bottom out in order to make the right decision and in order to give himself a chance at a better opportunity. And, you know, with him, I could see him probably being able to talk his sentence down. You know, with Kim's help, because she came back around, I could see things, you know, working where, you know, maybe he cooperates on certain cases and, you know, there's some things that he's able to do legally to get himself out of there to a much more manageable number, you know, maybe not reducing it all the way down to 7 years, but I could see him maybe getting his shit all the way down to like, say, you know, 10 years or something like that. And then serving his 10 years and then going home and having a life and probably maybe being like what I was just saying about Franklin, one of those people who can say, yo, this is the terrible shit that I did. This is how I contributed to, you know, damaging the community and the lives around me and all that. And, you know, this is what happens to you when you do the shit that I did. But here I am now and I'm able to tell my story and able to tell people to avoid the mistakes that I've made. And I just touched on that with Franklin. So to me, those guys had similarities kind of throughout their stories, throughout their arcs. But when we saw them, when we last saw each of them, they were at their lowest point. Jimmy was in a prison cell. Well, not actually in the cell. He was in the yard at the time with a shit ton of years ahead of him. So, you know, at least in that moment, he's not going anywhere. And Franklin was literally homeless. They just took the house right before that as he was walking off into the sunset. So, you know, great endings to both of those shows. Moving on. Next up is Beef from Netflix. Great show. Ali Wong, Steven Yeun. It's about a road rage situation. And just like I talked about with Saul and with Franklin, a lot of the things that happen on this show are because of choices that people made, bad choices that they made. And you see the consequences of those things, because at several points, like pretty much in every episode, there was an exit ramp. There was an opportunity for one or both of these people to just let the shit go, but they wouldn't do it. And things kept escalating and getting crazier and crazier and crazier as the story went along. But then when they get down to the ending of it, and you see, like, it's not really even a swerve, but I think you see the connection, because when you watch the show, and I won't even go fully into the details of the ending of that, but what I will say is that when you watch this show, you see that there are similarities between these two characters. They both have certain flaws and they both have certain fears and things like that that manifest in pretty much every other area of their life. And you feel like if they would just let this stupid shit go and, you know, let bygones be bygones and maybe talk to each other just as regular people. Hey, you know, I know we had our little shit, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. You probably could consider, like, yo, y'all might actually like each other. Like, if they had met each other in a different scenario, then they probably would have been cool, because they have a lot of similarities and the sort of, like, the trauma and the things that they're dealing with in their own minds and in their own lives are pretty similar. Like, you know, he feels like, you know, one of his biggest issues is money. I don't have enough money to do X, Y, Z. She's rich, but she's still unhappy too, right? So great way of showing a lot of the things that we see on social media, in the news, and so on. So I highly recommend Beef. Like I said, I won't even tell you exactly the way that ends, like I did with the Game of Thrones stuff and with Saul and Snowfall. But if you haven't seen Beef, check it out. And I think that, you know, you'll see what I'm talking about. Like, I thought it was a great job. And actually, in the time since I've watched it, I've started to like it more and more, because I started to hear, you know, other people kind of discuss it and put their two cents in, and it makes a lot more sense now. So great job by everybody involved with that. Next up, Ted Lasso. I guess this is the last season, although people are saying that they haven't fully committed to that, which I think is kind of weird. But I started binge watching Ted Lasso maybe a little more than a month ago. You know, I heard that it was really good. I heard that Hannah Waddingham, who is Septa Unella on Game of Thrones, she's the one that was, you know, fucking with Cersei the most, you know what I mean? She's the one that was ringing the bell when Cersei was walking down the street yelling, shame, shame, shame. So I heard how, like, great she looks on the show. And I was really intrigued by that, honestly. So that's kind of like what brought me to watch the show. But Ted Lasso was a great show, man. Season 3 is still going on now. I think we're about 7 episodes in. I think we're supposed to get 12. We're at a point right now where if this is really the last season, there's some things that I don't understand in terms of, like, you know, how are you going to wrap this storyline up in the next few episodes? I mean, I guess they could do it because they've the last few have definitely been about an hour long. So I guess if you take that much time for the last few, then, you know, you can maybe, you know, wrap some things up. But and there's some storylines that I don't really know, like, where they're going, like what the point of it was, like Zava. What was the point of Zava? You know what I'm saying? If they don't bring him back, then there was no reason to have him there at all, because you can't say that he was put in there to redeem Jaime, because Jaime's redemption arc started like in season two and they've already redeemed him. Like, he's actually a really great character. I mean, he was a great character when he was being an asshole and nobody liked him, but he's done a complete 180 and he's become a much better guy and a much better teammate. And he's become somebody that I really like, and I think most of the audience does too. You know, when the show started, you couldn't imagine that because he was that much of a dick. But but you know what I'm saying? They've done a great job with him. And the Zava stuff, you know, maybe was intended to help, you know, with his redemption. But like I said, I think they've already done everything they needed to in order to get Jaime where he needs to be. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll put a pin in that. And, you know, whenever I come back and do another one of these, then we'll see where we are at that point. And if things, you know, make a little bit more sense than they do right now. There was something else that I just thought about that. Oh, Mandalorian. Finished the Mandalorian. I thought it was good. I was disappointed that we didn't see Pedro Pascal's face at all this season. We haven't seen much of it in the first two seasons, but at least we did get a little bit of it. And to me, that's always been kind of a strike against the show because, you know, when they said that it was coming out, they made a point to let us know that he was, you know, going to play Mando. And, you know, I don't know what he was in before Game of Thrones, but I first saw him in Game of Thrones, and I'm sure that was the first time a lot of people saw him and heard his name. And even if he had already had, you know, a name recognition before that show, I don't think that it's a stretch to say that Game of Thrones boosted his career, right? So he may have already been a known dude before that time. But once he was on that show, it definitely put him in another stratosphere to where you would have him as a leading man on the show, like you have him on this show and like you have him on The Last of Us. He does a great job in The Last of Us. That's another thing that I watched that I enjoyed. But on this show, you know, it's basically a voice acting thing. And what I've heard was that they wanted to pay him as a voice actor, but he wanted to get paid a regular actor's salary. So that's why you saw his face in a few episodes in the previous two seasons. But we never got that this time. So it was a complete voice acting job. But I thought the season was good. There's some gripes or whatever, but I'm not like a really super Star Wars nerd like that or whatever. So some of the things that I know the Star Wars fandom is really, you know, kind of not liking, don't necessarily bother me as much. Although I will say, like, the pacing of the season was kind of weird to me at times. And the fact that they focus on Bo-Katan so much and kind of put Mando and Baby Yoda kind of in the background for a good while, that was kind of weird to me or whatever. I feel like there was a way that you could introduce her and have her be more a part of the show and still have those guys kind of do their thing. There were a lot of episodes where it kind of felt like they didn't know what to do with Mando and with Baby Yoda. So they were really just like really in the background. But overall, it was fun and I enjoyed it. A couple more things and then we'll get out of here. It's summertime, you know, at my job, you know, things get pretty light during the summer. And, you know, the NBA playoffs are going on now, and they'll be running until, you know, probably like mid-June. But after that, you know, there's not really that much on TV, you know, because, you know, all the shows usually come back in the fall. So And plus, you know, people are out and about and doing things, you know, in the summertime anyway or whatever. So you're not really so pressed to sit down and watch a show or a bunch of shows. But one thing that I decided to do was to start watching American Dad. I've seen American Dad. I've seen episodes of it along the way, but I never like really kept up with it. You know what I'm saying? Like watching every week or every episode and all that. So I was like, you know, when I need something to watch to kill time, you know, whether it's late at night or trying to kill a little bit of time before one of these playoff games or something like that, or I'm just kind of bored and need something to watch, you know, I know they've got a bunch of episodes. I think they've got like 17 seasons or some shit like that. So there's plenty of episodes for me to watch. So I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and get started with that. And, you know, there'll be ones that I've seen that I know that I've seen, but, you know, a lot of them will be new to me or whatever. So that'll be a fun thing to kind of binge watch, you know, during the summer and for however long it takes for me to actually get all the way through it. So shout out to American Dad. I also watched a documentary on Amazon Prime Video called Reggie. It's about Reggie Jackson. That was pretty interesting. You know, they've got him telling his story, you know, about, you know, growing up, obviously, during segregation and all that bullshit that we had to deal with as Black people. And, you know, of course, he talks about how that impacted his life and his career and, you know, helped shape him as it, you know, did with, you know, all of our parents and even us and stuff like that. Even though we didn't grow up during segregation, you know, we still feel the effects of that. So that was a pretty good documentary. If you're looking for a documentary to watch, then that's a pretty good one. Like I said, it's on Amazon Prime Video. And the last thing that I wanted to mention before we get out of here was that last night, recording this on April 29th. So last night on the 28th, I was on the Since We Last Spoke podcast with Danny Foxworth. Shout out to Danny Foxworth. And he did an episode about the Hot Firestarter podcast, which if you know me and you've been fucking with me for a long time, you know that Hot Firestarter and The Black Guy Who Tips are my favorite podcasts. Like, so I'm not really a list person. I'm not really like, oh, this is my favorite this or my number one that. You know, I'm not a list person. And I'm not a ranking person for the most part. But when it comes to this is one of the areas that I actually do have a ranking system. And those two shows are number one for me. They're both number one. And in all the other shows that I listen to or the ones that I used to listen to or whatever, they're all number two. So, and it's been like that for a long time. So Danny had a great idea of, you know, bringing some people together to show love and appreciation to Tone, Sam, and Kenny, a.k.a. TKO, K-Bad, and Bossa of the Hot Firestarter podcast. And, you know, among the people that were on there were, of course, myself, Danny, Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, and a few other cast, man. And it was a great, great time, man. We sat here for shit, probably almost 3 hours just talking about Firestarter, our origin stories. I think it was really cool because there were a few of us who found out about them through Rod and Karen. And I was one of those people. Like I told my story of how originally I came across Bomani Jones, The Morning Jones, and the period of time that I listened to it ended up being like pretty much the end of the show. So it was like right around this time, like spring of that year, I think it was like 2010. And so from then until October, that ended up being my time listening to the show because the radio station that they were on at the time was sold. And, you know, some of the changes that were being made was that they were cutting some of the shows and his show got cut. So I didn't have a long time listening to The Morning Jones, but as soon as I heard it for the first time, I fell in love with it. Like it was a sports show that I didn't know existed. I didn't know it was possible and I didn't know that I needed it. You know, because the great thing about that show was you had Bo, and he was a real cool guy. And he's, you know, he's part of the culture and the whole nine. And he had all of these great people working on the show with him. But then, like, he had all these great callers who would call in on a regular basis. People like Mike Hitman, Toya, people like Stacy from Brooklyn. Rest in peace, Stacy. And one of the people that was a regular caller to the Morning Jones was this guy called Rod from Charlotte. And that was Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. And so I found out about his show because of the Morning Jones. Started checking his show out, fell in love with his show. And one day I was listening to that, and he had the Firestarter guys on the show with he and Karen. And, you know, they sounded really cool. They were funny. So like I did with a lot of shows, because I heard them on the Black Guy Who Tips, I was like, well, let me check out their show. And I checked out their show and fell in love with their show too. And pretty much right away, they became, you know, top dog. So they were right up there with Rod and Karen. So it was great to have Rod on there because he was actually the catalyst for a few of our, he was part of our origin stories. Excuse me. And so we just chopped it up, talked about, you know, some of our favorite moments, you know, some of the funniest things, memorable things. Like, we just chopped it up about all things Firestarter, and it was a great, great time. Shout out to everybody that was on the show. I know that there were more people that were invited, but they couldn't make it for whatever reason. You know, it was a Friday night, so people got stuff to do. But I'm so, so glad and so thankful to Danny for him allowing me to be a part of it. And he actually told me that, you know, I was a part of the reason why he decided to get into the podcasting game. So I thought that was dope. You know, he said that my because I did a Morning Jones episode. And if you haven't heard it, go back, because I think it's still on the feed. It was done in 2014. It's really early in my podcast journey. You know, I think I started in 2013. So sometime in 2014, I actually had Bomani himself, Rod, and I had Stacy on, and we chopped it up about the Morning Jones. And that was a 101 episode. And that's, you know, those are the episodes that I do, like deeper dives, topical conversations and all that. So go back and listen to that episode. I'm going to check it out sometime again soon because I haven't heard it in a while. And he's told me this before. He said it last night too, that he goes back and checks that episode out on occasion. And that was a part of what, you know, made him want to do what we did last night. He said that's going to be coming out in a couple days. So it'll be Monday. So that'll be right here at the end of April. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. I definitely encourage every one of y'all to go check that out. Check out his shows. He's got another one. I forget the name of it. Forgive me for that, Danny. But he's got another show. It's about baseball. So all my baseball fans out there, check that out. And it was great to sit up there and talk with those brothers last night. And that's part of the reason why I'm doing this right now is because, you know, I kind of owed y'all another one of these episodes anyway. But, you know, like I said, I've been off and on with this podcast stuff for a while, and I'm trying to, you know, kind of get back into the groove and maybe be a little bit more consistent with it. Like I have been at different points in the past. So, you know, hearing that I actually inspired somebody to do their thing was actually a boost that I kind of needed. So I'm going to definitely try to come back and get with y'all on some more of these and to get back to doing some of the one-on-ones. Because actually, like, what we did last night was sort of similar to what, you know, because I wanted to do a one-on-one on them as well. So I'm going to have to get my shit together and, you know, put together a Firestarter one-on-one where I can get the guys on and we can chop it up about their show and their friendship and all of that. I want to do one with Rod and Karen and do some more topical stuff where, you know, I can have different folks like them, you know, and Danny and, you know, whoever else, you know, come on and we chop it up about a particular, you know, topic as I've done, you know, in the past with some of the other ones. So things like that are going to be coming up. I'm going to start using this Notes app a lot more. I used it last night really for the first time on my phone. And I really like, you know, the fact that I'm able to type something up on the phone and then have it, you know, pop up on my computer. So, it, you know, that's another advantage of finally having the iPhone. I've been having a Mac for a long time, but now that I've got my complete, you know, Apple situation going on with the watch and the phone, you know, the seamless, you know, integration, you know, between each one of my devices is definitely going to be to my advantage or whatever. So I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here, so, you know, wrap this thing up. But I'll be back again soon and we'll chop it up about some more TV stuff on here and on the feed. You know, we'll get some more one-on-ones and, you know, I'll come up with something else as well. Cause if you've been listening for a while, then you know that, that this feed and this podcast has changed a lot over the years. So I want to do the things that I've been doing more recently, like kind of with the TV talk, because these are kind of easy, you know, for me to do. And I can kind of just crank them out on my own. But, you know, I want to start, you know, talking to people and having guests on and doing stuff, you know, with other folks like I did. Because like I said, that's the first time that I've been a guest on somebody else's show in a long time. As well. So it's the first time that I've podcasted with other people in a good minute. And that felt really good. So, you know, I want to get back to doing that. So shit, if you got a podcast and you know, all that, you know what I mean? Depending on what you're talking about and everything, if you need a guest or whatever, holler at me. We can figure something out. And I'll do the same thing when I got some stuff. So that's what it is right now. Oh, speaking of what it is, it is what it is. Shout out to Cameron and Mace. That's something else I've been watching. That's on YouTube. It's a sports show with Cameron and Mace, and that shit is hilarious. So check that out. Go to YouTube, search for it. You'll find the full episodes and sit back and have a good time with that. So on that note, we outie 5000, and I'll holler at y'all next time. Peace.